Hello everybody, this is the translation of Guy de Larbre's message for Sunday the 9th of October. The reading is taken from Luke chapter 17 verses 11 to 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." What you should know first. In this text, Samaria, Galilee, a Samaritan and leopards are mentioned. Jews and Samaritans do not like each other. The Jews who occupy Galilee and Judea come to adore God in Jerusalem. The Samaritans on Mount Gerizim. Each community, Jewish and Samaritan, has its own clergy, its own priests. And like the Jews, the Samaritans do not place importance on the city of Jerusalem. The sacred place of the community is Mount Gerizim, appointed by God to be the centre of worship in their tradition. According to them, this is where Abraham went to sacrifice his son Isaac. Mount Gerizim is cited as one of the 10 commandments to say that it is the sacred place par excellence. For some members of the community, the Samaritans are the only true Israelites because, unlike the Jews, they have always remained in the Holy Land. For further clarification, read the books of Nehemiah and Ezra in the Old Testament. I would add that even between Jews, those of Galilee and those of Judea, there is no cordial understanding. John chapter 1, verse 46. "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" And John chapter 7, verse 52. "A prophet does not come out of Galilee." And anyway, it is also a territory that brings only bad news because most of the invasion started there. The prophet Isaiah testified to this in his own way. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 23, and chapter 9, verse 1. On the other hand, lepers are the rejects of society. They are the untouchables. They must make their presence known by types of rattles, so that no one who approaches them, they are declared impure and cannot frequent common and religious places. Here it is well said that they keep their distance, they know their lawlessness. Consequence, the Samaritan, like the Jew, and vice versa, wants to take the credit of his religious institution by not failing to recall that there is a difference between them. The leper, therefore, has little solution other than to capitulate to the disease and social and religious rules. And now Jesus finds himself close to the Samaritans and the Galileans, at their border, and close to the lepers. We know that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For Jesus there is no Samaritan, Galilean, Jew or leper. All need to be saved. Jesus did not choose a side. The evangelist seems to play on this idea by saying that Jesus is on the border between Galilee and Samaria. What grace to know that. Jesus does not reject the lepers, whether Samaritan or Jew, nor the institution in place. He even seems to imply that the institution must fully play its role with regard to all, lepers or not, above all else, because when Jesus sends these men to the priests, they are not yet cured, nothing has happened. First of all, what about our institutions? An Italian friend stayed at the door of a church because he didn't have his membership card. A religious institution rejects divorced, remarried people. Therefore, they turn their backs on the institution and on God, confusing institution and God. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19, verse 10. We see it clearly in the text What Jesus expects of men is that they praise God. But which God? God arranged Jews, or arranged Samaritans according to the priesthoods established by each? Or indeed God, presented by Jesus, who sends everyone back to back with their limits and their halos? What about the testimonies and teachings that emanate from the churches today? Must not each of them remain vigilant so that the God presented is not an arranged God or one who arranges the community? I am sometimes amazed when I see exalted communities on the internet, a seductive God, a demonstrative God. I like, on the other hand, the way God had to present himself before the prophet Elijah as a light breeze. I am delighted when at least once a year at the end of January the Christian communities in Bergerac try to come together to put themselves before the Word of God and pray together. The differences are then less because it is the Word of God which dominates. We all have to be vigilant so that what we express is able to glorify God and therefore to produce a beneficent grace on everyone and not fear or confusion. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Finally, I would like to underline what happens to the person who has encountered the God of whom Jesus speaks. It is about the process of healing and salvation. Healing process, because it is along the way that lepers are cured, are washed of their impurity, of what made them antisocial. Healing process, which is truly achieved when one does not confide only in the institution in place but in God, when one identifies the author of the healing, God through Jesus, and not only the one who will see the cure, the priest. Successful healing process because the one who took the opposite path came to prostrate himself before Jesus. And it is then that a word is given to them, get up and go. Because you have had faith in me, you are saved. Not get up and follow me, but get up and go. The Samaritan now has a duty. It is to go, certainly towards those who are of his community. This is where he was born. This is where he grew up. This is where he is supposed to live. He could not move the lines on his own, but it is there where he lives that he can testify to the grace of God, capable of transforming bodies and relationships. We know that Samaria is truly in God's program of salvation, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But not that. It is to the ends of the world that this same grace must be revealed. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19, verse 10. Today, hear what the evangelist has sought to convey to us. We should not declare ourselves superior or inferior to each other. Just as in suffering identities are of little importance, lepers don't make a big deal of it. Let us recognise that we are all sinners. Not one of us can claim to be more just than another. Sooner or later, the defect appears. But what is important to know, and which is precious to us, is that in Jesus, a process of healing began if we came to him with our suffering, our needs, our expectations. However, this is only the beginning. We are free to go where we want and be satisfied with the good effects of this healing process, even in the communities to which we belong or to those that we will go. But what true testimony will emanate from this process? Let us hear the word of Jesus. If we have recognized him as the author of this process, get up and go, because you have had faith in me, you are saved. What you need to know, after all, is summed up in the first preaching of Jesus in Galilee, in Nazareth, the city from which it is said, nothing good comes from there. Luke 4:16-21. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." In Jesus we taste the joy of a year of grace. We benefit from this year of grace. The church is a privileged place to live the year of grace. It is a duty for the teachers to remember. It is an opportunity for everyone to access it and to testify to it. We will now have the song, Gem number 300. The Smith Bible Dictionary mentions that some Jews who denied their religion occasionally found refuge with the Samaritans. Accordingly, the Samaritans in time claimed to share Jewish blood when it was in their interest. Not only did the Jews not regard the Samaritans as true Jews, but the New Testament states that the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. John chapter 4, verse 9. Notice that Jesus sent out his disciples, saying, "Go not unto the heathen, neither enter into the cities of the Samaritans, rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. Jesus therefore considered the Samaritans to be Gentiles. Of course, after his resurrection, he instructed his followers to preach the gospel in Samaria, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And that's when the church grew, Acts chapter 9, verse 31. The leper is a pariah of society, excluded from worship and social life. This is the most radical form of exclusion. The encounter with Jesus, a path of healing. Jesus does not perform any gesture of healing. Healing is therefore not instantaneous. The 10 men trust, walk away. Healing happens at a distance. Suffering, loss of identity. Only then do we learn that he is a Samaritan. For a Judean, the Samaritans are religious enemies, having made another choice of scripture texts, the Pentateuch alone, another temple at Mount Gerizim, another calendar, other rites. The contrast between this grateful man and the ingratitude of the 9 others draws a dividing line between Jews and the one whom Jesus himself speaks of as a foreigner. We remember the parable of the Good Samaritan and how much Jesus shows his love for strangers. Thus Jesus rejects an ethnocentric vision, according to which God would only give himself for some. What about our recognition, we regulars? Would we be more critical than grateful? Jesus blames the 9 other lepers for not having given glory for God. Physical healing is less important than the salvation given by faith in Jesus. Healing leads to the complete salvation of the human being only if the latter recognizes the free initiative of God in his regard. It is also necessary that the healed respond by engaging in a real relationship with Jesus. It is an unfailing faith. Get up and go. Your faith has saved you.